listening to the U Urban Bible Study Weekly's Leaders Training Podcast. The U curriculum is especially created by and for urban and multi-ethnic churches. This podcast is designed to help leaders lead a Bible study using Lifeway's U Urban Bible Study resources. Each week, we examine a biblical passage, review some questions teachers may face, and give a practical teaching tip. I'm Dr. Mark Cross, the General Editor for the U Bible Study, and today I'm joined by our content editor, Natasha Menifee. Hello, Natasha.
Hi, Mark. This is an exciting study, Confidence in the Face of Hard Questions. So this study will help us answer some of those tough questions as Christians. We live in a day that's increasingly post-Christian. And in our culture today, people want to assume that truth is whatever that individual person makes it out to be. Our culture is steadily changing, and the biblical teaching is no longer assumed or it's embraced. And so we have all these various platforms that are projected, and through media and other things, it causes people, including those believers, to question the validity of the Bible and the truths of the Bible. So this study looks at six of those truths, and each session will answer a prominent question that individuals in secular societies often use to attack the Christian faith. So in this first session, does it really matter which truth I believe is important, because it is the foundation for all the other sessions that will follow? And when we know what we believe, and more importantly, why we believe it, we can stand with assurance in the truth of Christ, and we can speak with confidence as we have opportunities to talk with others about Christ.
All right. So here's the point. Knowing the truth of Christ is the only way we can experience freedom. So how do we determine which truth to believe? And so let's begin at chapter 3 and verse number 19 of the Gospel of John. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But anyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be accompanied by God. So what a great beginning this is. The first thing we say in order to answer the question, how do we determine which truth to believe? Does it illuminate? So first, just let me say that we're in this postmodern time where truth is based on whatever the group believes is the truth. And so even our question for the study aligns with this postmodern mindset, because these are the people we're trying to reach, not because we believe there's more than one truth, but because we want to reach the people who believe there's more than one truth. And it says, how do you determine which truth, as if there's more than one, to believe? And so here it is. And does it illuminate? Does it illuminate is the real question that we have to think about and answer. Jesus is the light that has come into the world. He is the light. In fact, chapter 1 of John says that he is the light who lights the heart of every man. It is a reminder that the only way that people can come to God is because they can see the light, and that his light is working not just in the life of the believers, but his light also is shining in the hearts of every man. And that's why it says the people love darkness rather than the light. They saw the light. They just chose the darkness. And the reason they chose to the darkness was because their deeds were evil. And so we have a lot of things going on in these days in which we live. And, you know, I can understand how some non-believers can come up with some of the stuff that they believe and want to claim that they support. What I can't understand is how people who claim the name of Jesus would seek to embrace things that are clearly, by all factual evidence, not true. Right? So how can you be a believer in Jesus and embrace those things that are part of the darkness? Well, this says that you ought to check yourself, because if you're embracing the darkness, it might be that there's no light in you. For everyone who does evil hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But verse 21, but everyone who lives in the truth, comes to the light, so that his works might be shown to be accompanied by God. God does not dwell in the darkness. And ultimately, if we align ourselves with those things that are not true, they will eventually come to the light, and our deeds will be exposed, is what this text reminds us of. And so come to the light. Remember, does it illuminate, bring information, bring enlightenment, bring sense, show the facts, talk about what's true? What are you seeing here, Natasha?
Yeah, when we think about illumination, that's what the real truth does. It illuminates the darkness in our lives. And just as the verse said, those who do evil deeds don't want that light, because it exposes. Light exposes the things done in dark. But does it illuminate? Does it bring us out of the darkness, whatever the truth is that we're questioning? Does it bring us out of darkness, or does it keep us in the darkness? The true truth of Christ will bring us out of the darkness and draw us closer to him. Anything else is an untruth, and it's typically going to keep us in darkness and push us away from him. So in a world that is full of darkness, we look to the light. We look to the light of Christ. And if we are in him, then we're going to be drawn more and more to that light. And even more so, his light can shine and live through us. So that's the measuring stick. Does it illuminate? Does it draw us out of the darkness toward Christ, or does it keep us in darkness? And if your truth keeps you in darkness, then you should question, is this truth? And if it's anything other than Christ, then it is not the absolute truth.
All right, so here's the second question. Does it sanctify? Does it sanctify? Switching now over to John chapter 8 and verse number 31. Then Jesus said to the disciples who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We are the descendants of Abraham, they answered him, and we have never been enslaved to anyone. How can you say you will become free? So here is a great passage, and just a reminder to us that does it sanctify? Does the truth sanctify? So remember, sanctification is the process by which we become more like God, right? So does it sanctify? Does it make us more like him? Only if we follow his word. are we counted truly as his disciples, right? Disciple is a learner, a follower. And so if you're not following his word, you are not a disciple. And so we used to have these bracelets, what would Jesus do? And I raised the question, why don't we have the WWJD bracelets anymore? They used to be everywhere. Now they're hard to find. And I think the reason that they're hard to find was because people started actually asking the question, what would Jesus do? And found out that some of the things they wanted to do were not what Jesus would do.
Yeah, that's good.
And so people stopped wearing the bracelet because they stopped wanting to ask the question, what would Jesus do? That's what this verse is all about. If you continue in my word, then you are really my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What a powerful statement this is. The entire time we could spend on these verses that we have already looked at so far in this passage. What are you seeing here, Natasha?
What I saw was in verse 31 that stood out. If you continue in my word, so in his truth, in his word, not in our own truth that we make up, not in the truth of the world. So as Christians, the truth of God's word is what's going to transform us into Christ's likeness. He said, then you're really my disciples, you know, not if you just claim yourself to be my disciple. Oftentimes we claim to be a disciple of Christ without wanting to be attached to the truth and to the living according to the word of Christ. We just want the benefits of being attached to his name without really living out the word, without living by what Jesus would really do. And so when he says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free, so many of us who call ourselves believers are still not free because we still have not accepted the truth of Christ. We just want to be attached to Christ, but not to live out the truth of his word. We still want to do it our way, and those two things just don't work. And that's not where true freedom comes from. Our true freedom comes when we live in his word and we keep his commands.
So some years ago, Richard Niebuhr wrote a book, Christ and Culture. It's a great text that maybe everybody these days ought to read. And he talks about how Christ is Christ with the culture, is Christ under the culture, does the culture lead, or is Christ above the culture, transforming the culture? And so I just think many of us have Christ in the wrong position. And so and that's why we're not aligning with his truth often. And so put Christ in the right position. Christ above culture. Christ has to come first. Truth. Culture second. Secondary. And whenever culture conflicts with Christ, our allegiance has to be to the truth, to Christ, and not to the culture, right? So this is a great thing for us to have a conversation about. Here's the last thing. Does it set us free? Does it set us free? And so here, starting in verse number 34 in John 8, Jesus responded, truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. A slave does not remain in the household forever, but a son does remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you really will be free. And so the Jews were saying, look, we've never been enslaved to anybody. They're talking about physical slavery. But Jesus is saying, I'm not talking about physical slavery. I'm talking about the fact that you are slaves to sin. Slaves. slaves to sin. You may think you're large and in charge. You may be in charge of a lot of things, but if sin is dominating your life, if sin is the one calling the shots, if sin is your master rather than the truth of Jesus, you are a slave to sin. You may have a good job, but you're a slave to sin. You may be running your business, but you're a slave to sin, right? And so only the Son can set us free. Only the Son sets us free. And so it's important for us to recognize who we have allegiance to and what it is we're believing as the truth. Does it bind and constrict, or does it set us free? And so this is a great point for us to think about. Yeah. Natasha, what are you thinking?
I like the two words you said, bind and constrict. This does the truth that we call ourselves living by bind and constrict us. And oftentimes we think we're good, but if we find ourselves shifting what we believe to avoid offending others or to go along, to get along, then we are bound. We're not living in God's truth. God's truth will allow us to stand on His word and be confident in what it is, and we don't have to shift and we don't have to waver. So if we find ourselves making those shifts, making those adjustments in what we think, what we say, and what we do to avoid offending others or to be acceptable according to society's terms, then we are not free. We are bound by the thoughts and the opinions of others and of man when pleasing God is our only goal. So we are only truly free when we find freedom in Christ and we find freedom in the word, because it's that freedom that allows us to stand boldly and be confident in who He is first and then who we are in Christ. And that's how we can continue to live out the truth in a world that seems to create their own. When we know the truth and we're confident in that, nothing else will can sway us and we won't waver. And that's what living in true freedom in Christ is about.
All right. This is a great, great study. And just as beginning to launch this whole great series on these important questions. So if you are a Bible study teacher, I want you to hold on for just a moment, because Natasha is going to give us a powerful 1 minute teaching tip. But I want to remind everybody that you need to get your own copy of the U Bible Study curriculum. You can find it at u.lifeway.com. It is our urban cultural forward Bible study. It comes in paper and digital formats. There's a teaching guide in the back of the book and daily devotional pages to keep us engaged in the Word of God. It also has a leader's pack available so that it'll make your lessons even more powerful. It aligns with our Bible Studies for Life student and kids curriculum, so there's something for everybody. And so, Natasha, give us our teaching tip for today.
So as we go into this new study on confident, pray for God to lead. So before you teach, pray that God illuminates His word and provides you with instruction as the teacher so that you're able to lead and guide others through the sessions. And additionally, pray for the learners that they are receptive to what God has for them to learn through this first session about truth, because it's the foundation that we'll build everything on. Think about how the word of God reveals the truth of who Jesus is, and then be able to express how knowing the truth of Jesus, the absolute truth of Jesus, can set everyone free.
All right. Thank you, friends, for joining us, and join us again for another U Bible Study podcast, because you never know where God will take you.